Lasky? Will and Holly. Yeah, look, I need you to get me on the national news pronto. Why? Because we may very well be dealing with the two most dangerous men on the planet.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. Wrestling Weekly, guys. July already, Les.
This is Wrestling Weekly, Doc, and you're stammering and stuttering. Yeah, it is July.
It's July already.
Unless my calendar is from some other planet, tomorrow is the 4th of July. So before yesterday was Canada Day, I believe.
Yes.
So to our friends up in Canada, belated congratulations on that. And to start the show with something good and positive, or at least I hope that's what it is. I hope everybody that listens to us has a great 4th of July here in the States. And a safe one, obviously.
Fireworks galore.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. I just said a safe one, Doc. When I say that very quickly, and I won't go into a long story, I had a firecracker go off my hand when I was 9 years old.
No wonder you don't like fireworks.
Well, you're right. I've never held a fireworks of any sort thereafter.
All right. Last year, our show was supposed to come on July 4th, and we you and I were speaking about it, and we were saying, should we take July 4th off? And you were like, I don't care. I'm not going to see fireworks.
Listen, we have one of the biggest fireworks displays here out on the river, on the Ohio River.
Yeah.
Plus at Labor Day weekend. I mean, it is huge there because there is a company that makes fireworks, and they do these huge displays all over the world, I think. I can't even think of their name right now. But anyway, they're located here in Cincinnati, and they set up these barges out in the middle of the Ohio River between the Kentucky shoreline and the Cincinnati, Ohio shoreline. And like 500,000 people are out there to watch this display. And of course we watch it on TV because I'm quite frankly not interested in standing in the middle of 500,000 babbling people.
I could see the sky, I don't have to be
being in the entertainment business, but I don't understand being there are people that a friend of mine has a system, right? And they're to get a good place to park.
Yeah,
he will go down tonight, and to get a convenient so he can get out early tomorrow night. Anyway,
no
he'll
way.
Park, but yeah, well, he's married and got children. He's got two. The family's got two cars. He'll take a car down. His wife follow him down. And he'll park the car tonight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll come back and they'll take the city bus down tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And they'll go down like early in the – those fireworks aren't until like 9 o'clock tomorrow night, and they'll be there by 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. probably,
mm-hmm.
right? But the reason for taking the car tonight is so that it's instead of waiting in line and in huge amounts of traffic to get out of downtown Cincinnati and off the riverfront, they'll get out early.
Right.
But it's a whole – and I'm thinking to watch 20 minutes or whatever it is of fireworks, I don't think so. Don't get me wrong. I sit here and watch them, and I'm fascinated by them, But to go through all that, when I was your age or my age or any age, I don't think so. It's just, it's too much.
I guess I was spoiled. Most of my adult life, I lived like a couple blocks away from the Wabash River, which is where they do the fireworks. And I could sit in my yard and watch them.
Yeah,
I didn't have to go down there on the shore with everybody else, and
right.
even if I could, I could just walk there because it was two blocks, and I could just walk home. So I guess,
there's a Frisch's Drive-In restaurant that's maybe 10-15 minutes from us here in toward town, the main part of town, but the fireworks are high enough that you can actually drive down there and buy a Coke and a burger. Frisch's is the big boy chain here. It's Elias out in the West Coast, and Shoney's and other places, you know. But anyway, it's a big boy. So anyway, it's indoor and indoor restaurant now. It used to be a car hop deal. But anyway, you can go down there, and a lot of people go down there and sit in that parking lot. I did that with a couple years ago. But to me, now it shows on TV, and guess what? It's air conditioned here in the house. I don't have to wait in line at a portalette. <You know>?
Right.
so it's just was that more convenient. And probably most of the people listening to us now are thinking, why are they bothering us with this?
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway,
you can learn a little bit more about our lives. It's okay.
Yeah.
This being July 3rd, there's a couple noteworthy anniversaries to talk about. Yesterday was Bret Hart's 50th birthday.
Yeah, I saw that on the internet, and I'm thinking, hey, Bret Hart's 50? Do you realize? Oh, excuse me. I was in Calgary in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
You realize how young Bret Hart was?
Yeah.
In 1962. And I'm thinking, man, I'm an old man. Well, I am an old man. It's not like it's speculative, or I'm just thinking I am.
You're not that. You make it sound like you're Grandpa Homer Simpson.
Well, I am I'm Papaw, Grandpa. It just depends on which side of the family you're talking. My wife's side, I'm Papaw. On my side, it's Grandpa, and probably some names that they don't utter in front of me behind my back.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was Brett's birthday, and I saw him. You know, all this stuff has been going on with the Benoit tragedy. I saw Brett, in fact, he was on last night on the Nancy Grace show, and I said, 50 years old. I mean, he obviously looks older than he did 20 years ago, but I'm thinking, 50? Oh, okay. Man, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, speaking of Les being old, tomorrow is the anniversary of Les's professional wrestling debut.
You're absolutely right. 47 years
yes, in the business.
Blue Hills, Maine, at a fairgrounds. The ring was set up in the middle of the racetrack. It was a 4th of July celebration. And as I was telling somebody the other day, my indoctrination to showering after a wrestling match was a garden hose and out of a spring. So you can imagine how cold that was even on the July the 4th.
Right.
But anyway, I would, you know what, Doc? It was the start of something that it's had its ups and downs. It's been frustrating. It's been crazy. But I wouldn't trade that 47 years in for anything. I've loved it, and I love, you know, I feel blessed to have been able to do what I've done. And you're right. I mean, I'm thinking tomorrow 40s. I mean, you realize 1960 when I got on a Greyhound bus and went to Boston to begin my apprenticeship, my training. Would I have thought 47 years later that I'd still be taught? No, almost a half a century.
Wow.
I've been in the wrestling business 3 years shy of Bret Hart's age.
Bret Hart's age, yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Well, congratulations, man.
It's a big thing.
Tonight on the show, guys, from Ring of Honor, he's going to be talking about the new Ring of Honor pay-per-view that you can catch on Dish Network.
That's right now. It's on tonight, too, I think.
Yes, it's
on
called It's called Respect Is Earned. B.J. Whitmer is going to be on the program.
Yeah, a guy that I'm kind of familiar with. In fact, he took his first bump in my ring.
Yes.
When he started in the business. Speaking of Northern Kentucky, that's where B.J.'s from, and I'm happy because he and Nigel both have contracts with Ring of Honor now, and they're both, you know, from they started from square one with me, and I'm very proud of both of them. Yeah, we'll have some. I got some things I want to ask him about, and because he was with Morishima, I think he's wrestled Morishima on the first pay per view.
But it's gonna be a good one, man.
And we've got my old friend Kevin Kelly, who I worked with in WWE. On tonight, and
he is the newest Hot Topic correspondent here on Wrestling Weekly.
Yeah,
we're going to see
yeah.
We're going to be hearing a couple quick things
to plug a couple dates that have been lined up for August. August 10th and 11th, I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina at the NWA Legends Convention. I'm going to be in the South Atlantic Wrestling booth for those folks.
That's a huge convention. When it
oh,
comes
yeah,
around.
It is. I was at the first one. This will be the first time I've returned since. And they're having matches on two nights. A lot of my guys from my era are going to be there. A lot of the young guys, Styles, Samoa Joe, Christian Cage, and then Arn Anderson, and Lord knows, The guys from my era, JJ and Cornette, and on and on and on. It's the NWA Legend Convention. You can go to www.nwalegends.com to see more information on the whole entire weekend convention. It's also on the 12th, but for the 10th, I'll be at the South Atlantic booth from noon to 6, and on the 11th, that's Saturday, from noon to 4, and signing pictures, taking Polaroids or any kind of pictures with the fans, and just to talk about professional wrestling in general. And the guys from South Atlantic, I have struck up a new business relationship with them, and they seem very interested in doing it the right way and promoting the business in a positive manner. And I'm really excited about working with them too.
Excellent.
And I will also have some of our training manuals that Harley's going to be there too, that Steamer and Harley and I did, and they'll be for sale, and I'll be happy to autograph those as well. And then I'm returning to Detroit the weekend of Saturday, August 25th for the Rage Dojo and the Truth guys, and that's American Kickboxer, who's been on the show with us since one day camp. They're having me back up, and I guess I'm going to be up there every few months. Anyway, if you're interested in joining us there, we had a good time a couple weekends ago. In fact, Rick Matrix, who was trained by my old friend Al Snow, or not so old, actually, my young friend Al Snow, came all the way from Rochester to do the camp with us.
Wow.
So that was really, well, he was on a show that night. It wasn't like he just came to see me, but he came, here's a guy that's been, I admire that, because he's been in the business, I think, 12 or 13 years, and he still felt that he could learn. And when we left, he told Kickboxer, he said, he talked about coming back in August, he said, well, don't book these days because I won't be, but I intend to come back the next time. And I'm very proud that he felt he could learn something. But anyway, so that's two dates I've got in August, and working on some others. So, trying to keep the old man busy here.
Excellent.
47 years, man.
47.
You know what? The funny thing is, it's not like I'm dementia set in, I forgot, but until you mentioned it, it hadn't crossed my mind today that
really?
Tomorrow is, yeah. So anyway, move on, Doc.
You're going to be giving away, of course, autographed 8x10s. You're going to be signing stuff. Now, I have a question for you, Les. I got a beef with you.
You got a beef with me?
Yes.
Oh, well, guess what? There's a long line. It forms to the left.
Yes, but I'm here right now, so I get to vent mine.
Okay.
6 months ago, there's a place. You see, in my office, there are autographed pictures everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I've got Terry Runnels' autograph. I've got Chris Candido's autograph. He had signed a picture for me before he passed away. I've got Christy Hemme's Playboy hanging there. There's a little spot right there. It's blank. It says reserved for Les Thatcher. Now, 6 months ago, I asked you for an autographed 8x10 and for you to write a personal message for me. Remember this?
No.
No.
But you know what? Would that, while we're doing confessionals here on the air, would that be like some of the guys I've asked you to book, and then I said, did you? Well, I forgot.
Yes.
Okay?
Turnabout
is fair play. You, on one hand, knew you forgot. You know, you just didn't get around to it because...
Right.
You have so much to do. And me, on the other hand, I'm old and my memory slips. But you know what? You're telling me now. Send me an email, remind me, and I'll send you a picture, Doc. It's not a big deal.
Excellent. I'm just saying, my wall is.
What happened to the big picture? What happened to the picture you and I was on the front cover of our website? Where we were standing side by side, that I always thought that was kind of a neat picture.
I like to change the
picture.
Yeah,
well,
every
I know,
so often.
I know, but I'm just saying this. See, I wouldn't mind having a copy of that.
I wouldn't either. We should
and
make
say, who's the little guy with that demented fool is Michael.
We should make some black and white 8x10s of that. Yeah.
Oh,
and then we'll sign those.
I don't know. Would anybody pay postage to get one of those?
I doubt it.
Probably not. Probably
you never
not.
Know.
But
though.
Anyway.
Let's get into the news of the week. Of course, lots of Benoit news. A lot of stuff, everybody's been babbling. Everybody's been talking about this. Geraldo went on the air and really made me mad this last week.
You know what? Geraldo did a magazine show, and I think it was American Scene magazine. I forget. It was on Thursday nights years back in the 70s, because I remember when I'd wrestle in Norfolk, I'd go back to the hotel and watch it sometimes in the evening. Anyway, I've always been a fan up until this came about, and I thought, my God, is Geraldo an acid or something, trying to tie Kevin Sullivan into this? And, you know, the one thing I found out, Doc, over this past week is so many of these people, it is about sensationalism, and they don't have their facts.
No.
You know, and they're just babbling to a certain
I don't mind
degree.
With you know, it doesn't even bother me that Geraldo's reaching, and you know, he's coming up with all these you know, conspiracy theories and stuff like that. But the facts that he was saying were wrong. Those were not the facts that were presented.
Right. Well, you
that's
know, some of these people in the you know, the major news media, which you would consider what am I trying? It's not showbiz. It's not. Well, it is to a certain degree. Obviously, anything on television is to a certain degree a showbiz. But you know, these people, their storylines are sometimes goofier than the wrestling storylines.
Yeah.
I mean, and sadly enough, we're dealing with three people's lives here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, there's nothing good going to come of this.
No.
But there's so much contradiction right down the line from every way. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like first Daniel had Fragile X, then Daniel doesn't have Fragile X, and you know what? I don't know. I don't. And then I saw today where actually it was a lady next door to them that found the bodies because she was familiar with the dogs, and the police were afraid because apparently the dogs were attack dogs.
Right.
You know, she was afraid. They were afraid to go in, and she went in first.
Yes.
And she, you know. She mentioned that Chris had talked to her on Saturday
mm-hmm.
in the yard in detail about Nancy and Daniel's food poisoning or whatever it was, that they, you know, the story that was made up that, you know, he had told on the text message
right.
when he called the office.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here again, it's not defense. It's a thought process for me. I'm not defending any. Again, as I said last week, there's no possible way to defend this. You know,
right.
You can't rationalize it or make it. Hey, that's okay, because it's not. It's again heinous and tragic and horrible and any other word you want to come up with. But the fact that he would stand out there and tell this lady tells me that there was something wrong.
Right.
You know, I mean that he was unbalanced at that point in time. What bothers me that I hear people saying is, well, obviously, you know, a lot of people are taking a stance, well, he must have been this way for 10 years or for his entire 40-year life.
Right.
You know, and I don't believe that for a minute. But then when I hear there's antidepressants and when I hear this doctor was giving him for a moment, something happened over a 30-hour period was not rage. It was not instantaneous and then subsided, you know.
Right.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't just a quick spurt of roid rage. You know, you hear about the antidepressants, and then you hear this doctor was giving him 10 months' worth of steroids over every 4 to 6 weeks or so. I'm thinking,
right.
You know, my God, this is just, you know, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I can't believe, yes, was he mentally imbalanced? Absolutely.
Yes.
There's no, I mean, when I say there's no doubt in my mind, there isn't. But was he this way, you know, and there is talk that this began when Eddie passed away. And you know, that's quite possible, too, because I'm going to tell you, I haven't seen or talked to Chris that frequently over the last couple of years. I do remember the weekend that Eddie passed away. I was at my mother-in-law's down in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and I sat and talked to him on the phone about Eddie. And then I'm, you know, and maybe it did all start for me. I don't know, but you know, on top of this and the drugs, the entertainment business, professional sports, and we're a combination of both those things, is a pressure-laden business. And it's which is not an excuse; it's just a fact, you know.
Right.
And different people deal with things different ways. And part of you know, I did what I did read from apparently an expert on this particular type of murder suicide is that Chris fit the profile, which was successful, driven, you know. quiet, unassuming, and all that. But I mean, it's just it all bothers me. But I mean, to think that people will figuratively spit on his good matches and stuff is bad too, because that's I don't care what else he's done. When you separate professional wrestling from everything else, those are learning tools for young guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if I'm making any sense to anybody but myself. And I told somebody in my family, I said, maybe I should just keep my mouth shut, because, I'm not trying to glorify a murderer.
Right.
But I just, you know, there's, as my dad used to say, there's nothing ever so thin. There's not more than one side to it.
Right. You know? And I think you put it well last week. He said, you know, this is what happened. He had done this. But if your brother had done something like that, he's still your brother. You still love him. You know what he did was wrong.
Yeah.
But he's your brother.
Sure.
And I understand it. It's pretty much the same sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I am still, this has been a hell of a week. I don't know how to say it any nicer than that. For me, I mean, I can't even imagine Chris's family or Nancy's family.
No.
You know, what
don't.
It must be for them. But, Lord, I don't know what else is going to come out of this with the doctor and his 7 indictments, and so forth and so on.
Dr. Phil Aston was his name. He was charged yesterday. Yeah. 7 counts of distributing controlled substances without a legitimate medical purpose. I guess during the week, the feds had raided his office June 27th. So that was like last Wednesday.
Yeah.
They seized copies of prescriptions that were written by this doctor for testosterone, Xanax, Adderall, hydrocodone, oxycodone, Soma. Large quantities, big frequencies of these medicines. No dates on them, which is illegal. Lots of stuff. Now, this afternoon, Aston's lawyer, Manny Arora, said that his client was innocent of all these charges and has went so far to come out and deny that Aston's ever prescribed steroids to Chris Benoit. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we're going to – that's going to be an interesting trial when
you know,
it comes
here
out.
Here we go again with that. And of course, you know, that, there's something I'm a big Law and Order freak on that series. Knowing the truth and being a defense lawyer, I could never do that.
Right.
You know, and like this guy, you can't get him as an accessory. You're not going to get him. But here, let me say this. I know from being around, professional sports and entertainment all my life, 47 years, actually, is starting tomorrow, that for better or for worse, athletes, pro athletes, and entertainers can get things from physicians. When I say this, this is not a blanket coverage. That's not every doctor, you know, or physician in the entire world or in this country, obviously. But, people like to be around celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to do them favors. And I've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know what? It's not just wrestling, and it's not just baseball, and it's not just bodybuilding. It's so many things. You know, how many actors who aren't athletic in any way, shape, or form have been to rehab?
Right.
Where do they get that stuff?
People give it to them.
Sure. And it's not so, you know, and the crazy part of this is these doctors put their own careers in jeopardy to do that, you know? And it's scary. I've never been in that position because, regardless of all my other faults, I've never done anabolics, and I'm not a prescription drug dude. You know, I've said on the show before, over my years as a wrestler with injuries, if it was muscle relaxers or painkillers or whatever, I was, you gave me the bottle that said take so many so often and till the bottle's empty, and I did, and after that, the bottle was empty.
Right.
You know, and that's the other thing that's hard for me. I guess my addiction is professional wrestling, But I've never done. I smoked cigarettes years ago. When I quit, I quit cold turkey. So I don't understand the need for all. But I understand the pressure in this business, and I understand the need. I've heard stories. People say, "Well, everybody needs to be forced to take time off." I do believe that scheduling is honestly a little easier in this day and age than it was 47 years ago, because the guys, I think it's work four on and three off.
Right.
However, it is more high impact, where we were traveling from city to maybe from one state to another state, and in the car, these guys are crossing time zones, mm-hmm. which has got to mess, with your internal system as well, your body clock and everything else. So, one of the problems, Doc, that I know for a fact, and this has been from a time eternally, realized when I broke in this business, there were no anabolic steroids. In fact, I don't remember the first time anything like that surfaced to my memory was like 66 or 67 is that I knew guys were experimenting. Of course, at that time, they were legal anyway. But anyway, the one thing that creates this working through injuries and going on at all costs in our industry is the fact that once you go down, if you take time off, there's no guarantee that when you come back, you've got a spot.
Right.
And now, how do you do that? I don't know. I think guys would be more receptive to taking the needed time, whether it's for a burnout mentally or a physical injury, if they know. And if the companies, this is not necessarily WWE, it's any company. I don't care if it's in Japan or TNA, who it is, mm-hmm. that give these guys some assurance that when they come back, they will be able to not necessarily step in at the top slot, obviously, but be, takes time to elevate, bring you're off for some time. You can just come back and pick up right where you left off. But at some point, you'll be elevated back to the level at which you left.
Right. There's some more news coming out of the Fox affiliate in Atlanta today about Dr. Phil Aston. I guess what they're reporting now is that he wasn't just Chris Benoit's doctor. He was the doctor of quite a few pro wrestlers in the Atlanta, Georgia area. He had autographed photos on the walls of his office, and I guess he was pretty well known in the sports community that he was the doctor that you could go get your stuff from.
Well, realize that we're talking about Atlanta, the
yeah.
Hawks, the Falcons, the
right.
Braves, right? And they, what's the hockey team in Atlanta? I'm not a hockey fan, so I'm not. But anyway, and they may have a pro soccer team. I don't know.
Right.
And
apparently he was pretty well known in the WCW days, so this could stretch out pretty far.
Yeah. It's going to open a can of worms.
Okay.
Irish Pete said in a column that he posted was posted today on the Observer website that as of this week, nobody in our industry could say we never get enough media. And if anything, we're getting, one thing that does bother me, and I'm not going to get into naming names or slinging mud myself here, is that there are people fighting to get in line to get their 15 minutes of fame or 15
mm-hmm.
seconds or whatever it is, and, I won't say they don't know Chris or Nancy, I won't say, but it's obviously... Once you hear them start talking, they have an agenda other than that.
Right.
They're mad because they didn't make $10 million instead of $4 million, or they're mad for whatever reason, and they're going to take it out. You cannot blame the industry for this.
Right.
I've got to say this, and I'm not sure how this will sound or how it'll come out. Even back in 1960 when I started in the business, and once I became aware of the business, whatever you pursue, whether it's selling insurance or professional wrestling, there are certain things that may be negatives to you, may be distasteful to you, but you have two choices as a consenting adult: to overlook them, sidestep them, become involved in them, and some, you know, any of those things, and or walk away from that business.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Chris was as old school as anybody. I mean, he's not an old man, or he's not from my generation, but he was as old school in his work ethic and had, you know, given a lot to get what he had. And that's the one thing you got to realize, and I may be repeating myself, may have said this last week, because I'll tell you the truth, I'm stressed out a lot for the week due to a lot of things. But anyway, you know, have to make decisions for yourself, mm-hmm. and you have to put yourself in a position, and you have to monitor yourself a
right.
lot of times.
Yeah.
And I just feel that everything piled up on him, and he couldn't control it. And not being an outgoing, gregarious person, you know, he didn't share that with a lot of people.
Right.
And so this is the tragedy that happened from that. And I, you know, they're talking about regulating the business. Wow. That's a can of worms I wouldn't want to open for all the money in the world.
Definitely. We'll be talking about that when Kevin Kelly comes in for Hot Topic in just a couple of minutes here. Don't forget, B.J. Whitmer is going to be here. He's our featured guest tonight. And after Hot Topic, we actually have news that has to deal with other parts of wrestling. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do? Really?
Yes.
You know, let me ask you a question before we move on.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch Raw last night?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what. I was so exhausted. I actually wanted to see, you know, how the show came across.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned it on, laid down here on the couch, was actually liking the production values of the opening. I got into where Kennedy and Cena, and I will say that somebody whoever is writing for Cena needs to get away from crappy pants.
Yeah.
Unless they're right for Saturday morning cartoons for 9-year-olds. I mean, but anyway, that's not John's. He's just doing what he's
right.
fed. But I fell asleep, so I didn't get to see the show.
Really?
Yeah. I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning on my couch.
I thought it was pretty good. We'll get into that a little bit
okay.
later, too.
Cool.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly, guys. Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you. We're going to be right back after this with Kevin Kelly. He's our newest Hot Topic correspondent here on the program. We'll be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling.
as crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain your need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong. All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Design.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher, back with you at Wrestling Weekly, guys. We're having trouble getting a hold of Kevin Kelly right now. Hopefully he will give us a call during this. But we've got more news, Les.
Okay, well, that's why we're on the air, right?
That's right.
And since we've got another hour and a half to go, we better talk.
That's right.
About something.
This is a story that it's kind of an offshoot of the Hope Benoit thing. But it's a pretty interesting story nonetheless, and I like to think it has a moral tale. But the Associated Press is reporting that a user of the website Wikipedia has confessed to making edits to the official profile page for Chris Benoit, mentioning the death of Benoit's wife Nancy about 12 hours before anybody found any bodies.
Nancy Grace, they even mentioned that again last night, and I think this has already been determined. It's a couple college kids in Connecticut or something. They confiscated their computer. It was done as a bad prank that happened to come true.
Yes.
Obviously I'm on the internet and I have a computer, but this is one of the things that from the inception of all this, the web, World Wide Web, and et cetera, et cetera, that I have been terribly negative about is guys 5'1" can become 7 feet tall and sissies can become tough guys with a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And this is this created a lot of problems, you know, and obviously unwarranted problems for the you know, for law enforcement and so forth and so on. And it's just now we you know, we're talking about regulating wrestling, maybe regulating internet. No, I mean you know, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm serious as a toothache.
Regulate some chat rooms.
Yeah, well, you know what? I read chat rooms, and I think most of these guys, a lot of these guys, must have at least a fifth grade education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, I a lot of that stuff is just goofy. And this again was a
prime example,
a stupid prank that created a lot of problems because it actually came true.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to understand why would somebody do that. Write that down on his Wikipedia when he pretty much did not figure it was true.
And you know that name, pronounce that for me really slowly.
Wikipedia.
And you know what? If you offered me $100 to tell you what that is or where it's at, I couldn't tell you. That's how stupid I am about the internet.
Wikipedia is it's sort of like an online dictionary that anybody can edit. Of course, they have moderators, and,
right.
You know, if you put something that's not true or you don't have a source, they'll take it down. But you can edit it at any time. It has, of course, all the encyclopedia edits and stuff like that, but it also has profile pages for real people, of course.
Right.
And this happened to be Chris Benoit's. Now, this kid, I guess, had done this in the past. He had vandalized a couple other web pages, made some very crass remarks about Stacy Keibler's anatomy, made some racial remarks on some other sports papers. Or some other sports profiles on Wikipedia. And it kind of came back to bite him in the butt. He had made this big apology over at the Wikipedia site, you know, claiming that he didn't know anything about this. He had heard it was a rumor, and he just decided to write it down. He didn't know that it was going to happen. He didn't, you know, none of this stuff. But the funny thing is that he had said, you know, please respect my privacy. I want to remain anonymous and blah, blah, blah. It was a few hours later that the feds kicked down his door and took all his computers. So anonymous, that's not going to happen, buddy.
Well, you know, it's such a shame. Again, I guess I'm repeating myself that, you know, that something like that, you know, mean-spirited humor or mean-spirited anything is just, you know, this is kind of problems it can create, you know.
Uh-huh.
And something I didn't mention first, but I, you know, obviously Nancy and Chris and little Daniel are gone, and they themselves cannot be affected by any of this any longer. I was sitting last night watching, let me say this: I have not sat and absorbed every news program on this because I don't want to.
I don't either.
I don't need to, you know, because a lot of it's rehash. If I've heard it 70 times, I don't need to hear it 71. But I was thinking last night, I've never met Chris's parents and I've never met Nancy's parents, but I feel for both, you know, how this has to be affecting their life every day. You know, and they're going to have to deal with it for the rest of their natural lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're keep beating it. And, of course, the sad thing is once the toxicology reports come back, we'll fire it up again, you know. And I just, you know, it's – I understand it's news, but I have had Chris been an insurance salesman, this wouldn't be going on.
No. Because something like this in this country happens every day.
Yes.
It just happens to be, you know, Chris Benoit's celebrity, of
course.
And
you know what? If it happens with a lady here in Cincinnati, I'm not even sure what her husband does because I skimmed over the story, you know, the newspaper stories here. But apparently they both worked, were successful, lived in an affluent neighborhood, had children, went to all the ball games with the kids, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, long story short, she shot her husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying it was self-defense, But anyway, I'm not going to go into all the details. It's not even important. But the point is, it made the papers here. I don't think it's been done anything done nationally.
Right.
And, of course, when she goes to trial, it will obviously – well, the one thing that, did come out that was a little – I won't say – I don't know the word unique is the right word, but different is that her sister-in-law, the husband who got shot's sister, came forward and asked them to release her on her own recognizance or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, because they, you know, obviously, so that says volumes, too, about how they must have thought that the husband treated the wife. But then on the other hand, the judge says, well, she had never reported any abuse, so he didn't see the value. You know, it didn't,
right.
You know, anyway. It's been in the papers here, and it's been on, obviously, because it is local, and it's been on the local news. But, you know, it's not being beat to death and rehashed over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, like I say, I go back to where I started this whole thing. For the Benoists and for Nancy's mom and dad, I just think, my God, these poor people, you know, are having, I mean, it's bad enough that their children are gone, you know, mm-hmm. and how it happened. I mean, but then to not be able to virtually turn on their television or open a newspaper.
Right.
You know, it was People Magazine covered this. The current issue of People Magazine has on the front cover has a small picture of Chris in the upper right-hand corner, and then there is a story, you know. So this is not going to go away anytime soon.
No, absolutely not. And the jokes have started. Now, I read this magazine all the time. It's called Maxim Magazine. It's a magazine for men, of course. They don't have nude women in it, just women in bikinis or whatever. But anyway, it's a men's magazine.
I've seen Maxim. I'm not so old. I know what it is.
Maxim has come out with this article that is tasteless, crass, and not funny. It's called They Shouldn't Be Alive, and it's got a list of professional wrestlers that are still alive. Their odds on if they're going to live till next year, and some comments under each one that they think is funny. Listed in the article is Jake the Snake Roberts, The Ultimate Warrior, The Iron Sheik, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Road Warrior Animal Terry Funk, Mick Foley, and Ted DiBiase. And they have these odds that they'll die before 2008.
You know, I heard a little something about this, and once I realized, I forget where I read it, obviously on the Internet somewhere, but once I saw what it was, I didn't bother to continue to read it, you know. And you're right, there's nothing funny about that at all. Nothing, I mean...
I'll tell you, I read my last issue of that.
But, you know, let me interject right now, because, I'm probably scatterbrained most of my life, but... over this past week, I've really, you know, my thoughts go from one point to another.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's, you know, they talk about regulating the business, they talk about changing the business, they talk about, you know, doing this and that and the other thing in the business. Let me say that if our business, if there ever was a time, and I, of course, you know, I've preached this, I preached it 10 weeks ago and I preached it 10 months ago. If there was ever a time for the business to stop all this, the sophomoric sexual comedy, silly slaps, you know, and even, I mean, stupid storylines like blowing people up, and get back to the serious business of the craft of professional wrestling, now is that time. You're never going. I mean, a lot of people are going to think what they want to think about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the more stupid, silly stuff you do, then you know, the industry has never had a great reputation generally to begin with, and obviously this has created a far worse overall impression of our industry than. We're all feeling the side effects from it, and I don't, you know, and we shouldn't. But I think now's the time to settle back in and have two athletes competing that don't need chairs, they don't need tables, they don't need girls with boobs falling out, or they don't need guys stealing Vince's last sandwich and trying to sell it on eBay. That's gaga, you know.
Right.
Now's the time to settle back and do what this business actually, the foundation of this business, and do it well. And they've talked about not having steroids and not having guys about size, and I would agree that size is not important, but how many times you can rotate on a somersault isn't important either. It comes back to the basics of the work, the craft of this industry.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling that Vince might think laughter's the best medicine and start making goofy things to say, hey, you can't take this serious, you know. You shouldn't take, you know, all these stories that you've been hearing in the media series. Look at what we do. Look how silly and goofy we are. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, but it's like this. If again, I'm going to use Law and Order simply because it just happened to pop in my mind. But let's, God forbid, that one of the featured actors on Law and Order did this same thing, right? Law and Order is not going to come back. They may stay away from anything pertaining to that, which I would totally understand.
Right.
But they're not going to turn it into the Three Stooges or into, Ding Dong School.
Yeah. It's already been one and a half Stooges, I guess, if you want to put it that way, since for the last few years anyway. But
What's been one and a half Stooges?
You said Three Stooges, you know, as in silly and comedic. But they've been half that, is what I would say.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, you know, I'm not saying that there's something can't be humorous. I think it's just
right,
the way it's presented. But I also think that, and you've heard me say this before, if you want respect, then you have to earn it at any level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams is a tremendous comic. He earned that. I'm not a tremendous comic, so I don't expect people to respect my dry wit or whatever. But I mean, you know, you get my point.
Right.
Use these people for actually the talent that they have, opposed to trying to put a square peg in a round hole and give them a talent that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that points me to the fact of where some congressman or senator in Georgia is screaming regulate. Our business over the last 15 years has had enough people trying to run it that don't understand it, which is not of any value to the wrestling business or to those who do understand it. I've said back when corporate America got involved in our business, listen, I understand why you bring in somebody that's an expert on booking venues or an expert on publicity or public relations or transportation, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't understand giving a plumber the book or anything.
Is that a Dusty Rhodes reference?
Huh?
Is that a Dusty Rhodes reference?
No.
I'm kidding.
It never crossed my mind. No, it's not a Dusty Rhodes reference.
Dusty Rhodes
does understand the business. Like him or dislike him,
right,
I think he's a good booker or a bad booker, he understands the business. I feel sorry for Umaga having to deal with the Jackass guys, which is coming up soon. The idiot Steve-O, I don't go to his MySpace or website or wherever he wrote this stuff about. He was kind of, well, you know, I created a furor in the dress room and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard, and again, this is a rumor. It wasn't told to me by Vincent K. McMahon that honestly, when he heard, how Steve-O acted in the back, that Vince, you know, did consider escaping the whole deal with those guys, except for the fact that they're getting ready to do something on USA, and of course the corporate giant, the network which WWE does business with, wants the tie-in.
Right.
You know.
And again,
but here again, these guys are going to drag us down to get themselves over.
Mm-hmm. Except Bam Margera, he's not going to be there.
I don't even know who the hell he is and could care less.
He has been injured. He actually tore his liver.
Okay.
And
well,
in the
you
hospital,
know what?
So he's not going to be at
that
match.
A few of these, in the course of channel surfing, a few of the stupid things I see these guys do, the fact that they haven't torn more than their liver surprises me, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I realize there must be a market for this, and there probably some of our fans turn it on and get belly laughs galore, but it's just, to me, stupidity is not very funny.
Did you like America's Funniest Home Videos?
I watched this. Yeah, well, you know, and the ones that I think honestly just happened, you know, but the ones where, you know, you think that the dad set the kids up to
right.
You know, no. But see, that's the other thing too.
And that's what this whole thing is. It's like America's Funniest Home Videos, but it's all planned.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you
it's
know,
all
it's
set
like
up.
I've seen the little the commercial, right? Where is it Steve-O who's buried up to his neck in sand, and
mm-hmm.
and they're pouring more sand in his face, which it, obvious. First of all, if it is real sand, then he's taking his mouth. Then he's more stupid than I could ever give him credit mm-hmm. for being. But do I think it's funny? No.
Right.
But I just meant, to me, comedy, Robin Williams, Billy Crystal, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, that's, you know, or if you're talking about movie, well, they all do movies too, you know. But the Three Stooges had an art to what they did, but they weren't totally crass and just, you know, blatantly nasty for the sake of being such, you know.
Yeah. We've got some more news coming up. This is sort of, I guess, would be the last tie-in to Benoit here, but the Observer's reporting that Vince McMahon's death angle was going to go like this. Vince was supposed to return in the summer saying he faked his own death. He would reveal an accomplice. Several names, I guess, were discussed for the role, according to Dave Meltzer, with Mr. Kennedy looking like the best fit. Like WWE, they wanted to build a monster heel off this storyline. So as far as the June 25th show, which ended up being the Chris Benoit show, the company had brought in a casket, flowers, candles, pictures of Vince. It was going to be, you know, like a eulogy. Everybody was going to give thoughts of Vince and stuff. All the talent was told to wear a black suit. The night was to end on a cliffhanger with the detective that had been running around backstage, you know, interviewing everybody, making arrest of the fake culprit, which would later turn out to be Linda McMahon.
Yeah, I've heard this. And you know what? Hopefully, and again, if anything positive, and it would be very little positive out of the death of three people, comes of this in terms of the business, that I will be gone before they attempt some such stupid storyline again.
Right. TNA news. Matt Morgan was backstage at TNA last night. This is the third taping he's attended at the request of TNA so far. It's rumored right now that Dutch Mantle and Jeff Jarrett.
Dutch Mantle. Mantle is something you have over your fireplace.
Dutch Mantle and Jeff Jarrett have big plans for him. It should be noted that Jim Cornette historically is a huge fan of Morgan's work, and went as far as to take him under his wing when he was in OVW.
I like Matt. Last time I worked, it was Tulsa a couple years ago. He was out there with us. And, the crazy thing is the stupid deal they had with him on WWE, this guy is a good promo.
Right.
You know, and I would hope that if he goes to work with them, that they allow him to, you know, I mean, he's a big guy. He was in the last invitational week-long training camp that Dr. Tom and Kevin Kelly and I did here in Cincinnati when I was with WWE. And, you know, he was a good athlete, good basketball player. And I see a lot of potential in the guy. And I'm sure Corny's gone to bat for him. But, again, I hope – well, you know, Abyss was a great promo before he ever became a decent worker.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not utilized and may never be. Although, you know, there's ways of bringing him back to the fore, you know, and allowing him to promo if they ever get around to doing that, which, again, I'm not suggesting they do or don't, but, I mean, hopefully with Morgan that they utilize, you know, his vocal talents as well as his physical.
Mm-hmm. I like Matt. I did have a chance to interview him at one point in time.
We had
really
him
nice
on the
guy.
Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next up, it appears Triple H is having second thoughts on his proposed upcoming return feud with Randy Orton. The original plan was for the game to return in a main event feud with former Evolution member Orton and work a match against him at the end of the summer, probably at SummerSlam. However, Triple H is now pushing for Orton to get a run with the WWE title, of all things. Triple H's reasoning for not wanting to return in a feud with Orton is that he feels that Orton is a top heel character on Raw right now, and it would kill his momentum if Triple H would come back and beat him right away.
You know, I'm not making any suggestions. I just thinking out loud. You know, like him or don't like him, I don't care who he's married to. Helmsley is a talent, and he's a student of the business. And, he really doesn't need a title to get over, at least not initially. Mm-hmm. They're down. I mean, the depth on that roster, we've talked about this, for a year, you know, and it's not really getting better. It's getting worse, if anything.
Right.
You know, and God knows we just lost one of the best workers of all time. But, Helmsley, I mean, they need Helmsley back. They need Michaels back. They need all the strength. They need those guys to actually help build and give credibility to guys like Kennedy at MVP and, mm-hmm. People like that. So, Helmsley, I don't know when he's due back, but, I'll tell you, he'll be a welcome addition, honestly.
Not too long. And WWE started the promos, I guess, last night, counting down, if you will, to Triple H's return. Showed some scenes of him getting his surgery, training, doing an interview talking about, his injury and, how excited he is that he's going to be coming back pretty soon. So
yeah.
They're really pushing this. Triple H is also reasoning not wanting to return with Orton is that he feels that Orton would be better off being the WWE champion, taking that championship from John Cena, and from a business aspect, Cena chasing Orton for the title, he thinks would be more profitable. I have to agree with him on this.
It's probably true. I'll tell you one thing that I read today that I slept through last night was obviously they're planning on pushing Lashley and Cena. Right away, and I honestly, our friend Kevin Sullivan was on a couple weeks ago, and he said? They don't build anything anymore.
No, they don't.
And that's, therein lies part of the problem, too,
Mm-hmm.
It's like foundation for anything. You can put something quick, and it's going to be probably a shaky foundation, or you can take your time and do it properly and have a good, solid foundation,
Right.
And again, we've got two guys here. Cena's improved a lot. Lashley has improved, it's not the ideal matchup, at least not right at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think the last big instance of that in wrestling is when TNA pushed Angle and Samoa Joe together too quickly. They were just starting, I believe it was just starting primetime.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get that ratings.
For those on that listen to our show and think we're too heavy-handed on TNA, let me say that last Thursday's show was the best show. I think I can't swear it's the best show they've ever had, but where they had the whole show was the title match with Angle and Rhino and Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good show. It was, it was a good, and they had a hell of a match. And, while we're at TNA, talk about news, apparently Dixie Carter has been talking to Fox, not about Fox Sports, not about the My Network, but about the Fox Network.
Yes.
And
they own a lot of networks.
Well, the main thing is the Fox Network, if you realize, that's where American Idol is.
Yes.
And
no, they're actually talking about the Fox Corporation.
Well, yes, but I've also heard that first thought was my network is struggling. That's the new network that Fox.
Right.
It's under the Fox corporate umbrella.
Mm.
I've seen they're doing more primetime soap operas, but they're not that strong. I started to. Early in the back last fall in the season because I hadn't seen, because of the network, it's new and everything. And I lost interest, quite frankly, because the shows But then that was the first thought that maybe because it, you know, and I don't mean this in any derogatory term towards TNA, but because wrestling in general by many is thought to be a secondary thing, you know, or not as mainstream as it should be, a lot of the first thoughts was that she was discussing with the Fox Corporation about the Mind Network. But what I'm saying to you, Doc, is that from what my information is that they're actually discussing the Fox Network itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I heard it was a multi-network.
We've got another hour. Let's argue about it, okay?
No, I'm just telling you what I heard.
WWE is under the corporate umbrella. You could say that every station they're on belongs to USA, right? Or, I mean, NBC, USA.
Yes.
Sci-fi channel. Okay, mm-hmm. But the important thing I'm trying to say,
yes,
before 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Doc, you friggin' idiot.
It's Eastern Daylight Time right
is,
now.
Is that it's more important that they be on the Fox Network.
That is
far, far more important to their...
Yes.
Getting more exposure than the Mind Network or Fox Sports, or I'm sure you must know of three or four other minor networks that corporation owns.
Fox
that you're
going
to throw out here in a minute. I hope that those out there that speak English can actually understand what I'm saying.
No, I do understand.
My co-host is on some. He needs to be drug tested tonight because he. you're just looking to be arguing. Is your name Chris?
I'm just giving you
expert
heck
you. No, it's for those who worry about. We're not mad at each other, and I don't hate them.
Yes.
You know, that's the most important thing that's happened in that company's existence.
That would be huge
for 5 years now. But you know, here's the deal, Doc. I can hand you the football. But if you don't run with it, if you don't run in the right places, you can't make a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've got to do more of what they did last Thursday night and less of worrying about Eric Young buying prophylactics and that sort of thing. Because
right.
Then because they're going to be up for far more scrutiny because they'll be seen by more people.
Ants84 in the chat room just says. TNA needs Fox to buy a percentage of the company as well. No.
Please not.
The
no,
answer
no,
is
again,
no.
Here we go back to, I own a car, so now I should tell you how to build them.
I know. It's like, didn't we just say this on the show, Ants? Why this?
Borg, wake up out there. No. No, I, you know what, and it's, I'm trying to think of an example. I watch television. But believe me, for the sake of all of us, don't allow me to design them
mm-hmm.
or tell you how. I barely know how to turn them on and off, but since I've owned one since, God knows, even longer than I've been in professional wrestling, and that's the thing. There's one of the problems with our business if you're talking about regulation, is USA has too much say-so. Or I don't know, say, you know, it's not like they, but it's like your wife will tell you, well, you're going to have to do this, but you know, if you don't, your wife's going to be a little upset with you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the same with TNA,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the same, you know, now with Wrestling Society X, I think that MTV had too much input. Now, I won't say that the whole thing, you know, the whole thing of that show not making it had to do with MTV. But again, you know, if you're an airplane designer, then you should let you design airplanes. I think.
And, right.
You know. So anyway, that's
you build them. We ride in them.
Yes, I sure don't want to fly them, brother.
You stay on your side. We'll stay on our side.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. Les, I keep getting beeped in here, and I'm sure it's our friend Kevin. Should we call Kevin back? I think we have a little more time.
Well, yes. We should. I think Kevin is always adds something. I mean, you know, he's always got something profound and intelligent, entertained to say. Yes,
he is.
I would try.
He is like the wrestling Buddha.
Well, I don't know about. I wouldn't tell him that if I were you. I don't think Kevin
not looks wise.
Oh, okay.
No.
We could say that you are Yoda.
He says profound things.
But you may be a little more handsome than Yoda. I don't know.
Let's take a break, guys. We're going to try to get Kevin on the line here, and we'll come back at Wrestling Weekly after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures, you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Young and Les Thatcher, welcome back, guys, to Wrestling Weekly. We did have an off-air conversation with Kevin Kelly tonight.
Yeah, you know, let me jump in and say that my friend Kevin is a professional, and what happened was Kevin is involved in planning and executing a 4th of July celebration in his community where he lives, and at the last minute this evening, they had some obviously unplanned things come up that needed his attention. And the professional that he came home to call us to tell us he couldn't be on the show.
And now he's heading back.
Yes, but God bless him for that. And he's supposed to be on with us next week. So.
Yeah, Kevin Kelly next week, guys. Let's get back into the news. Don't forget, we got BJ Whitmer coming up from Ring of Honor. He's going to be our featured guest in just a little bit. This past weekend in Tokyo, Les, TNA World Champion Kurt Angle defeated Brock Lesnar to capture the IWGP title at the debut show of Antonio Inoki's new IGF promotion.
Right.
Angle defeated Lesnar in 11 minutes with his trademark finisher, the ankle lock. Now, this is called, it's IGF. It's called the Inoki Genome Federation. It's a mix of mixed martial arts with a sort of a twist. The competitors wear open-fingered gloves, and the matches have no countouts.
Right.
Angle started strong early on, it says, giving Lesnar several German suplexes in a row. Lesnar managed to ground Angle, put him in headlock for a few minutes. Angle powered out of it. They both teased their finishes during the match, with each managing to escape, of course. Lesnar ended up tapping, and Kurt Angle's the new IWGP champion. This was, it's got to be a huge match out there. It would be huge here.
Especially over there, and of course, if Brock were still... you know, had stayed with WWE, which I'm not saying he should have or shouldn't, but I'm just saying had he have, and Kurt with it. There was been a big match here, too.
Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing about this story. After the match, Brock Lesnar challenged Angle to a rematch. I don't know if it's going to be a scripted match or what, but it's a rematch under mixed martial arts rules. Brock Lesnar, of course, now is...
I think what he said was the next time we meet or something, I would like it to be under in mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, and I'm not picking, being picky here, but the way you said it, it's like the guy that won said, "I want a rematch." Why?
And what is that?
Who are you calling?
I'm nobody.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Yes.
Who is it? Is this Kevin again?
Yeah.
I have no idea how we ended up calling you back. I think maybe you didn't disconnect, or maybe we didn't disconnect.
But before
from you completely.
Start cussing us, Kevin, we're on the air. So.
Yes, we are on the air. So I have no idea. We're sitting here talking, and then we heard ringing, and then here you are. That's weird. Is he there? I think we lost him.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys did get to hear Kevin this week.
All right. Well, you know what? I can't even imagine what just happened, but that's my boy, Doc.
I think
the consummate engineer.
I had nothing to do with that.
Well, I sure didn't dial his number.
Now, I noticed, like, at some points... Like, if you don't completely disconnect, it will try to call back automatically.
Okay.
Stuff like that between
obviously
cell phones and
yeah,
house
anyway,
phones.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Right.
I you know, here we go again with this, the mixed martial arts thing with Angle, and I don't, you can't serve both masters and do it adequately, and you know, I've been acquainted with Kurt to a little. I mean, believe me, I mean, you know, we've talked a few times in the dressing room. I don't really know him that well, but just for his background as a gold medal Olympic wrestler, if he's going to do mixed martial arts, I hope that he walks away from pro wrestling and, you know, concentrates on that and gives himself enough time to do it adequately so that it doesn't tarnish his reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you think one or the other?
Yeah, well, you can't. I'm telling you, you can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can't, because you know, there's too many you know, just too many variables and little things which I get in, and I won't, because it's probably, you know. But, yeah, I just don't see that as you know. But like I say, if he's going to do it, I hope he walks away and does it right.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
I saw a piece of Brock Lesnar's MMA debut in...
I watched the whole thing. Now, I was told by somebody that's far more... you know, into the MMA than mm-hmm. I am, and certainly I don't know that he's an expert, but anyway, he's more attuned to it, is the guy that Lesnar fought wasn't all that good. It wasn't like he was a slug, but he wasn't all that good. But still, I felt that Lesnar, did well in terms of watching his balance and how he, got the guy, got in a good position on the guy,
yeah.
And the guy couldn't shake him and so forth and so on.
All I know is I saw him.
It'll be interesting to see how he does on down the line, because
yeah.
Because he's still a young guy, you know.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a guy. I mean, the opportunity I had to work with him while I was down in OVW, I mean, he's a hell of an athlete and strong and real talk about his strength, and I don't know what the weight of a WCW ring post is, but I can tell you this, they're damn heavy. Joe Hamilton built those things to weather a hurricane or a tornado. Joe could tell us probably what the weight of it is. But we were loading one of those rings on our truck down at OVW, and Danny Davis and I were standing talking out the drive, watch, you know, and I had my back to the truck, and Danny said, turn around and look at this. And Lesnar had that ring post with both hands extended at arm's length, handing it up to one of the guys on the truck. And, of course, the guy on the truck was smart enough not to take it, because had he have taken it out of Lesnar, he would have gone south with the post.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, which, of course, being the strongest man in the world, if you don't understand balance and leverage, that's, you know, not a lot. But I just thought I'd throw that little story in. But anyway, I hope he does well. I hate to see him leave wrestling, because I thought that he had a great future, but he obviously didn't have his heart and soul into it. I would have liked to have seen him leave it a little bit with a little less controversy, so that the option was always there, because he is a young man, to come back and not only make himself money, but those around him, whatever company he came back for, some money.
Right.
But, again, if Angle's going to do this, I hope he concentrates on it and does well with it.
Yeah. I'm no MMA expert, but from what I saw of the Lesnar match, all I saw was Lesnar just beat somebody up. That's my...
Well, he did, Doc. That's very good. Very.
That is my...
very observant.
My official analysis of the match. He beat that guy up.
Well, you know, one of the things, and I told... I forget who I was talking to about this, but I said, you know, I've watched the IFL some, and I watch UFC, and I catch little bits and pieces of it, all of it, because I've just gotten more into it. But you know, the thing that that I'd like to see more of is more wrestling part of it. You know,
yeah.
Which I think, and maybe I'm wrong here, because I wasn't into it that much years ago when Severin and Shamrock. And of course, I realize the sport itself has evolved and changed to a certain degree. You know, but I just, you know, if I want to see a boxing match, I can watch Mayweather Del La Hoya.
Right.
But I mean, you know, but I like to see the takedowns and see, you know, how guys perform on the ground as well. I mean, there's obviously, you can't make rules saying, well, you have to do a certain percentage of your match down, a certain percentage on your feet. But, you know, I that's just something that I miss a little bit, you know, is seeing more mat work, you know. But, I it's obviously the sport is really growing and is big in this country. And then, and again, we've talked about it here. I think our business can back up a little bit, if that's what you want to call it, and go back to a little more serious mode. And, I think that the people that are watching MMA have basically saying, hey, this is, you know, it's, you know.
I think it'd be healthy for the image.
Yeah, you know, what I said earlier about if we're going to change, you know, if they're going to change wrestling's image, I would rather oppose to make it into more slapstick comedy. It's just make it a more, a more simulated athletic competition.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The Wrestling Observer this week's reporting that, Domino, the WWE Tag Team Champion, his real name's Cliff Compton, suffered a broken nose and possibly a broken orbital socket.
Yeah.
He did not perform, of course, at SmackDown tapings last night. And he could be out of the ring for a while, so want to give wishes, get well wishes. Get well soon, Domino.
Are they the tag team champions of SmackDown?
They are SmackDown tag team champions.
You know, seeing that awful, I
Deuce and Domino.
I don't keep, or it's not pushed, I guess, or stuck out there enough that I had to stop and think about it. But yeah,
they just won them not too long ago.
Yeah, right. I know it hasn't been a while. It is. It's been a short run for them. But see, that's the other thing too. A lot of guys now. I understand that Cody Reynolds was on Raw last night.
Yes,
briefly.
Dusty Rhodes' son.
I tell you, he's for the short period of time that he's been in the business, he's one of the highlights on OVW, which I do get to see on a regular basis. But I'll stick my neck out in hopes of not making anybody upset to say that I don't think he's ready for Raw yet.
No?
What? No. No, I don't. Listen, this, you know, there's an old saying, this business, you're a rookie for 5 or 6 years, and he hasn't even been in the business 2 years.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that short of a time.
No, no. Well, and you've got to have seen guys who have been in the business longer than he. Well, you know what? When we get BJ on, I'm not sure exactly when BJ started with me, but it's taken, and again, everybody, you know, you can't use one guy and say this is the yardstick for the entire industry, everybody, but I think he would tell you that as much as when he was much younger and a number of years ago, he would have liked to have been a feature guy and a main eventer, he can look back and tell you now that he wasn't ready, you know?
Right.
But, of course, listen, you offer me a lot more money to move up in whatever it is I'm doing, you know.
You're not going to say no.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's like when I hear people saying, well, you know, they're paying Alex Rodriguez, well, I don't even know what they're paying Alex Rodriguez, $75 million a year to play baseball or whatever it is. You know what? Don't be mad at Alex Rodriguez. Be mad at George Steinbrenner. If I offer you $75 million to do something, are you going to say, no, Les, I'm probably not worth that. I'll take less money.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, Cody, you know, what I'm saying here is even if Dusty doesn't think he's ready or if Cody himself feels that way, he's not going to say, hey, I don't belong here. He's going to take the opportunity.
Right.
But I think that's, you know, if you remember, look back at this show a year ago, I was saying that there's more young guys with less experience being pushed than ever before. And I think a year later, I can say that it's not the same. It's even more young guys are being pushed with less, you know, with less experience.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you know, that is not going to be good for the industry.
No.
You know, also, you've heard me say, well, what happens when the Finleys and the Regals and the Michaels and I also use the name Benoit, but realize the guys that are yardsticks and are good at working with other guys. The story is that Flair will step down at the end of at WrestleMania next year. That will be his final match, and he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Which God love him if he does, you know, he's earned the right to do that. But Benoit is gone. Guerrero is gone. I mean, not that Finley's ancient or anything, but David's not getting any younger. Regal, you know, those are the, you know, there's not, and Michaels, Helmsley, there's, you know, there's not a million of those guys around.
Right.
And the blind can't teach the blind.
No. You gotta have experience.
I didn't say that. The blind can't teach the blind to see is, I guess, what it is.
You gotta have experience with somebody more experienced than you.
Yes. Absolutely, and that understands the industry, you know, understands the art of and the craft of what goes on between those ropes.
Yeah. TNA news. Just for you, so you guys know, TNA's website's reporting that Lockdown 2007 is now on sale. Go ahead to TNAWrestling.com and go ahead and buy that up. But Conan has now been removed off TNA's roster portion of the website. But Ron Killings is still there.
Conan was on the Nancy Grace show.
Was she?
No, she wasn't. He was.
I saw
him. And he was quite candid, you know, maybe more than I would. I obviously would have been. But, of course, Conan always has been pretty candid. That's what's cost him, I think, some bucks over the years with different promotions. But, TNA is, I don't know, that whole deal with Conan, I know they fronted him some money for the hip surgery, wasn't it? And then, I don't know, they're at odds over whatever. I'm not really.
Oh, Conan says they wouldn't pay for his surgery.
But, you know, here, let me, you know, we're talking about the negative vibe. Let me throw this in here before we go any farther because, again, like I said, my head has been so full of so many things over
right.
and above the tragedies in our business this past week. You know, but it's football. You realize they were in Washington, D.C. this past week. Ex-football players who are crippled and some barely can make a living are homeless. And there's the thing about the NFL Players Association not adequately giving them their, their just amounts of, medical insurance and help and so forth. But please, what I'm saying here, too, is just talking about, well, wrestling has pushed Chris Benoit to this, or wrestling pushed Eddie Guerrero to that. Well, then that my assumption would be that football pushed these guys to being, the one guy that played here in Cincinnati is on crutches and has been homeless and on and on and on. And they were, some of these players were talking about how they played with injuries that they didn't tell the team about because they were afraid if they told the team they would just be cut opposed to giving time off and so forth. So, God, it's horrible to say, but it's our society that professional sports at this level is cutthroat, man. It's pretty cold. And it's not, gee, Doc, you're a nice guy, but, you can't walk and you can't talk. So, hey, it's been nice. I'll see you. You know, yeah. We're all kind of, a slab of meat in the butcher's shop's display case. And if you get rancid or there's not a call for you, man, then you're set aside. So, right. So it's not. I just want to say it because it's not just wrestling. It's obviously this whole. But in terms of
it's the whole entertainment.
Sensationalism. Obviously, that's not as sensational as what happened in Atlanta this past week.
Right. It's the whole entertainment industry. I mean,
actors
are like that. Sports stars are like that.
Sure.
Anything in entertainment. Guys, we've got B.J. Whitmer coming up. One final note. It's a programming note. The USA Network's going to be airing Monday Night Raw from 11 to 1 Eastern on August 27th. They're going to be pushed back for the U.S. Open on August 27th. Mark your calendars. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We're going to be right back with our featured guest, Ring of Honor's B.J. Whitmer, right after this.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from WWE 24/7 Hall of Fame and a whole bunch of other things like that. As a matter of fact, I'm working out of the back seat of my car right now, reminding you that you're listening to Wrestling Weekly with my very dear, close, personal, longtime friends, Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Keep it up. They got a great show. I think you're going to love it forever. Work it.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally. You pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Design.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
wrestling-radio.com for the latest news in professional wrestling, watching of videos, and promoting your own independent wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. Log on to wrestling-radio.com. Sign up today and get weekly archiving of your shows. Advertise your show on the main website. And also listen to other great wrestling radio shows, such as The Squared Circle, The Minority Report, Evan's Legends, and many more. And you could be the next one. Log on today at wrestling-radio.com and begin promoting your wrestling organization or radio show the way that you want it done. We promise you, you won't be disappointed. Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's leader in wrestling radio promotion.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you. Wrestling Weekly, guys, on the line right now from Ring of Honor. He's one of the kings of the indie world. BJ Whitmer is with us. BJ, I want to thank you for being on the show this week.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys.
Are you one of the kings of indie world? Man,
I guess so now. That's the first time I've been called that. So.
It's your new moniker.
Yeah. I can say I knew you.
Yeah, I knew you when.
Listen, you know what? One of the things I want to say, obviously, your guys' pay-per-view is on Dish, starts on Dish tonight, and it's going to be on other networks coming up, too. But it one of the things that I think is exciting for me, having been around, and of course is more exciting for you, is the fact that you have now signed a contract with Gabe and Kerry with Ring of Honor, and that takes some of the financial pressure off the indies, because I think what a lot of fans don't understand, BJ, is when you're out there booking yourself and you don't have a contract with somebody, it's a hustle every day, right? I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you don't work, you don't get paid, you don't eat, you know?
Right,
pretty
exactly.
Much the way it works. So now, you know, they got us, you know, locked down, you know, most of us. I think a couple of the guys signed one-year deals. I know I signed a two-year deal. I can't speak for anybody else with them. So, you know, they got some of us locked down, you know, so Vince can't, you know, come in and like, sweep us away, or TNA can't come in and sweep us away from them, so they can, you know, actually invest some money and some time, you know, into the storylines, and Gabe not have to worry about, you know, us getting picked up by another company and getting taken away. So.
Right, exactly. And of course, you know, this, when did you start with me?
Early 99.
Like, okay.
January,
right.
February 99.
Because we were just talking earlier, and I said I wanted to ask you because, you know, I'm getting old and senile, and my but, you know, we were talking about Cody Reynolds popped up on Raw last night, and I said last year I'd mentioned there were a lot of young guys getting pushes that probably wouldn't have 10 years ago and weren't necessarily ready, and I just said to Doc, I said, here we are a year later, and actually it's more prevalent now than it was, and I said, I think you can relate here. What I was going to ask you is, have you elaborate on a little bit, is probably 10 minutes after you had your first match, you wanted to be in the main event, but now you can look back 7-8 years and realize that just you've matured enough in the last few years that you really belong in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. You think, you know, like you're saying, you first start out, you're just hungry, you want to, you know, get out there and you perform, and you think right away, you know, oh, I should be doing this, should be doing that, but, you know, you, like you said, you mature as a performer, not only as a performer, but as a person, and you get to where you can, you're mature enough to handle that position and to be able to carry the ball when necessary.
Yeah, absolutely, and I had said to Doc, I said, you know, there's an old saying back when I broke into business, you know, you're a rookie at least for 5 years in this industry, and a lot of these guys, and you know, we've talked about pressure, and of course that's part of it. You, as you mentioned, maturing as a person is dealing with the pressure, at the higher you're placed on a card too, because you, whether it's spoken or not, realize if you're given a main event or a semifinal spot or a title, that's like saying, hey, BJ, we expect you to deliver here on a nightly basis or every time you step through the ropes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I've never worked like TNA per se. Like, I've done some dark matches when they first were starting out and stuff like that, and I've never worked WWE, but I know with Ring of Honor, it is a high-pressure situation every night you are out there, because it's almost like, and I know now, like, that we're doing the pay-per-views, we're going to kind of, I mean, we're not gearing our product as more towards like the super smart marks like we were before. We're trying to gather in, you know, maybe some casual wrestling fans that are kind of tired of the two products they're seeing out there right now, maybe trying to latch onto them. So we're not like catering our product so much towards the smart marks anymore, which, I mean, that was just so brutal when we were, because you were under the microscope every single night, and you still are to an extent when you're out there, because we're always going to have like the super smart mark following, and that is just a pressure-filled environment.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that too, because initially, when I heard that Ring of Honor, I said, this is the alternative. I know they have the tag scrambles with the smaller guys and this and that, but the thing that always brought me to Dayton to watch the shows was the higher-up card, because it was more wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got and a good mix of everything, too. You know, like I said, you have, like, the high flyers that can do some amazing, amazing stuff. And you got guys like Brian Danielson, who can work a slower, methodical style, similar to, like, a Dory Funk Jr. or something, but can still keep the people, like, entertained like Dory could, you know, and keep the people enthralled and into his match kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, something I was thinking about when Doc told me you were going to be on the show, and I don't know that you and I ever talked about this, but I think you, I don't know how many guys that came through our camp while you were there that were almost afraid to tell their parents what they were doing, or they got no approval from them at all. Now, as a young man, as a young athlete myself, I always had my parents' support, and yes. I know one of the things that I always thought was so neat, that when we ran a show, I saw Mom and Dad Whitmer in the audience. To know that your family's behind you has got to mean something, too.
Oh, yeah, it's been awesome. You know, and they kind of, like, when I told them, you know, I found a wrestling school, you know, I really want to do this, they kind of looked at me weird at first. Like, are you sure? I was like, yeah. You know, because my dad started remembering back, you know, when I was a kid, taking me to see, like, the Crockett shows at the Gardens and stuff like that, when they would come, like, maybe twice a year, I think, to the Gardens. My dad would take me to those.
Sure.
He's like, are you sure about this? And I was like, yeah, I am. And they're like, okay. They're like, we'll support you on this, but, you know, it's going to be rough, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you probably won't make money for a while. I was like, I know. I was like, this is something I was drawn to. And I think they realized that, you know, that it was just something, it's kind of, I didn't have any control over. It was just so drawn to the sport of professional wrestling, you know, and they've been awesome all the way through. They don't get to watch me as much because I don't do as much local stuff, but they're up there in Dayton every time Ring of Honor's there. So, you know,
and I bet they're buying that pay-per-view, too.
I think they have, like, we don't have Dish Network. We have, like, I think the in-demand service.
Right.
And I don't think it starts till like, the 16th or the 18th of this month. On in demand, but I'm sure they'll get it to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know, but that's true. I mean, how many guys that were with us that, you know, I know as myself, I could come home and talk to my family, and you could go home and mm-hmm. talk to your mom and dad about it. And how many guys had to go home and just shift gears and pretend almost like they had
they
nothing to do with
it.
The business.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, like you said, it made it, you know, so like almost, it didn't make it, like, the physical part of it easier, but the mental part of it, knowing that you had the support of your family, it made it so much easier, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I read heard, actually, an audio segment on PW Insider, and somebody else made reference, too, that B.J. Whitmer was the Tommy Dreamer of Ring of Honor. And, I don't know how you take it or how anybody except, but I thought it was quite a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, and I have, you know, I've been willing to do things that, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, wouldn't necessarily want to do, you know, kind of thing like that. And, you know, I've just been pretty much a company man, you know, they, you know, pretty much what they ask me to do, you know, I'll do it, you know, as long as it, you know, will help the company, I feel, you know, and be good for business and help, you know, put more asses in seats and draw money, because, you know, that's the bottom line. It is a business.
And I see the schedule for the Ring of Honor NOAH combination shows in Japan. You're on that tour, too, so you've been over there for NOAH before, but this is going to give you a whole new perspective over there, because you're not going in as just one of the, you know, one of the Americans now, but as one of the stars of Ring of Honor, too.
Yeah, and they wanted, like, when they set up the two shows over there, the one in Tokyo and the one in Osaka, they were very specific in the fact, you know, that we don't want, like, Ring of Honor versus Dragon Gate in Osaka, and we don't want Ring of Honor versus Noah in Tokyo, we want a Ring of Honor show, you know, with Ring of Honor matches and stuff like that. So that's kind of, you know, how they were put together. There are going to be some, you know, Ring of Honor versus, you know, Noah matches and so on. But, you know, they wanted a Ring of Honor show there in Tokyo and in Osaka, you know, with a combination of all three companies' stars on them.
Right. I haven't got, you know, obviously I haven't got a chance to see the pay-per-view yet either. You work with Morishima, right?
Yeah. Just a quick, like, to start off the pay-per-view, they had me cut a quick promo in the ring introducing the product and stuff like that, which was really cool and kind of meant a lot to me that, you know, that was the very first thing and it pops up, you know, on the screen. It's me in the middle of the ring, which, you know, meant a lot to me. And it was kind of like almost like a thank you from the company, you know, for all that I've done. Stuff like that.
Excellent.
So, you know, that was, you know, felt really good, you know, to be the first thing. And then we had a quick, like, 3-4 minute match. And a lot of people said it was a squash, but, I mean, I got just as many, you know, big moves on him as he did on me. So,
what else can we see on the pay-per-view? What kind of matches are there going to be?
I believe Rocky Romero and Mara Fuji had a match. Yeah, I think Roderick versus Delirious. Because
nice.
I know there was some matches that were just, like, they're going to be DVD release only, and I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I know
Briscoes wrestled somebody on it, don't
they? Sydal and Claudio.
Yeah.
Who they wrestled, and that was a very good match. And then you had the tag for the main event, which I think was the four guys, I can't remember who was on whose team, but it was Nigel and American Dragon and Kenta and Morishima, but I can't remember who teamed with who.
Ah.
You know,
might have been Dragon and Morishima
against
Nigel and Kenta, maybe.
You know something that I was thinking about the other day, BJ and Doc. We had a faction that started with Chet Jablonski, who's Chet the Jet in OVW, and a manager called Brock Guffman in HWA, and they were called the A Team.
A Squad.
The A Squad. That's right, the A Squad. And Pepper Parks. Was Chet. He and Chet had gone to high school again. They came to me. Anyway, I thought what was so cool is out of that, the group as it evolved through the time that I had the company, was that Chet and Dean Jablonski both had contracts, developmental contracts. Dean's no longer there. Derek Nykerk, who was one of the guys who evolved into that faction, is now in the Florida WWE developmental. BJ has got a contract with Ring of Honor, and out of that whole crew, I guess, and because he quit the business for a while, Pepper's the only one out of the A-Squad that hasn't actually moved up the ladder.
Yeah, and I think, granted, I don't know what was going on in his personal life at the time, but if he would have stayed in the business, he would have had a contract somewhere, and I know you can attest to that too, Les.
Yeah.
Because the kid was very, very talented, but, you know, I don't know what was going on in his head and, you know, what was going on in his life personally that made him want to quit the business, but something obviously did, and he felt it was time, you know, that he needed to step away for a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he would have had a contract somewhere at some point because
I bet Guffman can use that as a heck of a promo, right?
Yeah.
Here, all my guys are on a list of who's who around.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. When you first started training with Les, MTV and their cameras showed up. They were filming True Life.
Yeah.
I'm a pro wrestler. What was that like for you? Because you wanted to be a wrestler. You went to there and you started training. You didn't expect to be getting any exposure experience right off. But then all of a sudden, here come national TV cameras. And that must have been pretty exciting for you.
Yeah, that was pretty wild, you know. Because I had done some research like in late 98 or so, because I knew I wanted to, you know, start a wrestling school as soon as I could. And early 99 was going to be the most feasible time. So in late 98, I started looking into schools and calling around and getting information and stuff like that. And I found the one on the internet for lessons there, and I went up there and checked it out. And I was like, you know what? This place looks really good. You know, it looks like I can get trained really well here. It's close to home. You know, I won't have to, you know, fool around with moving away, you know, and having to spend a lot of money moving and stuff. I was like, I'll be able to stay at home, still be able to work, you know, 40 hours a week and still train too. So I went up there and I started training there, and then within the first couple months, I remember Les coming in, like, well, we got MTV coming in to tape, and I'm like, what? I was like, well, this is kind of cool, get some exposure right off the bat here, I guess, you know. So
I didn't even know that you were there at that time until I...
Oh, I would look completely different.
I had
with a buzz cut.
I had went back and I had watched it, and they're showing this scene where they're panning across the students, and I was like, is that that's B.J. Whitmer. Oh, my God, he has a buzz cut, you know?
You know, one scene was me sitting on the couch, like, then I'm sitting on the couch that was there in the gym, and they was asking me, you know, what would be my goals in wrestling, and I say something like getting a contract with, there was three companies at the time, I was like, one of the three big companies would, you know, be my goal down the road.
You know, I'll tell you what, Doc, you're talking about B.J., and one of the girls that was training with us, who he was actually dating at the time,
yep,
were the featured wrestlers on MSNBC's Special Edition, which they taped at our place and at a show. That was,
taped
was
my
that
first
what,
match, yeah.
What year was that? Was that?
That was, I'd done a Battle Royal in late 98, but it was like early 2000
yeah,
was the first singles match. And, yeah, they were there to tape that. And they taped, you know, there a few nights at the school, too, us training and stuff
like
that.
Do you still have a copy of that, BJ?
Somewhere at home, I believe my mom does.
You know, ask Mom Whitmer if she'd make me a dub of that, because I'm missing that one. I'd love to have a copy.
I've never seen it. I would like to have a copy.
Yeah,
we don't want you to see it.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
While you're giving stuff away...
You could all buy a copy of that. B.J. Whitmer, write to this.
Start up a second business.
Les Thatcher, we will sell copies of this.
Yeah.
Put the money three ways.
I got to ask you, B.J., one of my favorite tag teams that you were in was, of course, with you and Jimmy Jacobs. Do you miss teaming with Jimmy at this point?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I have such, you know, good chemistry with Jimmy,
mm-hmm,
you know, whether it be U.S. teaming or us having matches. I mean, we tore the house down, you know, when we were having matches, you know, had a hell of a feud that lasted over a year at Ring of Honor that we just had, like, when was that, WrestleMania weekend there in Detroit, we did the cage match as the final match of the feud, and, you know, yeah, I really enjoyed teaming with him, though, too, you know, and then, you know, I did tag matches, like, so long there for a while. In the last year and a half, maybe, or so, I've been doing a lot of, like, singles work and stuff like that, which I enjoy, too. You know, it's just, I like to switch it up every now and then. You know, I did tags for a while, now I've been doing singles, you know, and I want to keep kind of doing singles right now.
You were speaking about that, I guess it was called the Steel Cage Super Grudge Match.
Steel Cage Showdown, I think, is what they ended up calling it, yeah.
Okay. Now, I had seen part of this, especially the ending, I guess, Jimmy Jacobs had pinned you after putting you through a table with a senton bomb off the top of the cage. My question is, are you crazy?
I have been accused of being crazy on several occasions, yes.
It's like, oh, my God, that was a heck of a...
Yeah, yeah, and I missed the frog splash off the top. Yeah, that was a pretty brutal match. I couldn't hardly get out of bed tonight.
You know, BJ, I know the last time I know you've had... You, there for a while, you had some nagging injuries and had to take some time off. Are you 100% healthy now? I mean, is everything good?
No, not really. I've been having some problems with my neck. Like, I just talked with Doc the other day when he set up this interview. Been having to get, like, epidural injections, the anti-inflammatory steroidal injections in my neck.
Right.
Having some problems with the disc between C6 and C7, with it bulging. And problem is, it's not only bulging, but it's bulging into a calcium deposit or a bone spur that's pushing on the nerve as it goes to the nerve canal there. Yeah, so it was causing my arm. It's not as bad as it was, but... There for a while, if I got, like, glommed in the back pretty good, like with a forearm shot or something,
right,
my left arm would go numb.
Ew.
Yeah, so, I mean, these injections seem to be helping, but, I mean, the ankle's 100% now, which I went for 7 months. I think I worked every weekend but one, the Memorial Day weekend last year, on an ankle that was just shot. But, you know, I got that fixed in, what was it, August, I guess, the end of August of last year, and the ankle's 100%. And, but I think from... going so long on that ankle being, you know, as tore up as it was, my left knee's giving me a little trouble now because I think I was compensating
for
that ankle being hurt. So I think I might have, you know, might need this left knee scope. I think it's just a little meniscus problem there, which is only, you know, it's a minor surgery. But right now it's giving me some pain. You know, I have to keep icing it and stuff like that.
So what he's saying, Doc, is as this goes along, all the basic holes that I taught him years ago are going to come back into play because
yes,
he's going to have to stop taking those bumps that you ask him if he's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is part of the reason why I learned it.
At some point, you know, my body's not going to keep, you know, taking what I've been putting it through, you know, because I've been, you know, for a guy that's, you know, I'm
225-230 pounds right now. And you know, I've been, you know, over 215, you know, to 220 there for the last couple of years, and just taking the bumps that I've taken, you know, some of the suplexes and stuff, and taking some of the big bumps, you know, a guy my size really shouldn't be taking some of those bumps. You know, some of the smaller guys that are a little more flexible can get away with it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
well,
like your Jack Evans and your Matt Seidel and stuff.
Yeah, when you first started with me, and when you first came out of the camp and started wrestling, you were a cruiserweight then. Anyway, what did you weigh during your when your first match, when you first started?
It was, 195 to 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... And, you know, that's the other thing, too. I know with myself, when I started when I was 19 and trying to, of course, there's more, you know, the nutrition and weight and everything is a lot more sophisticated now than it was 47 years ago. But I know as you get older, your body starts to retain that weight a little bit more. And
yeah.
And some of those...
Your muscles mature. And
yeah.
You, then you learn, like, and you know how it is, Les, because you've been around, like, bodybuilding and working out for years and years, like the more you do it and the longer you're around it, the more you learn about your body and how your body responds to what training and what training methods work best for you,
right,
kind of thing. And you just learn your body, you know, from working out. You learn what your body responds to best, and you find the workouts and the foods that your body responds best to and stuff like that. And if you can, I know with my body type, you know, I got a pretty fast metabolism, so I can get away with eating some more of the starchy carbs than a lot of guys can.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that, because my body will burn them off, and I can stay fairly lean, you know. But yeah, it's just, you know, learning the nutrition and, you know, eating every 2 to 3 hours, which can get hectic sometimes. but it's part of the job description. This
right.
this job's 24/7, 365, you know. And
well, you know, I think that's what a lot of young guys don't understand either, BJ,
yeah.
is that you, once you get in the, if you're committed to improving and moving up, then
yeah.
you've got to commit to all, you know, the nutrition, the weight training, the in-ring training. It's not just one or the other.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle that you have to adjust to, and you have to lead, you know, a total lifestyle. That, I mean, not all of your life has to revolve around wrestling, but a good portion of it does. If that's what you want to do, and this is what you want to, you know, do for your livelihood, you have to, you know, be dedicated, like you said, enough to finding out about nutrition and training and you know, gelling that all together and making it work in your life and having it all be a part of your life.
Yeah. We got some questions from the chat room.
Okay.
Professor VNS says, which wrestler or wrestlers benefited most from the Ring of Honor versus Combat Zone wrestling feud?
Myself. Definitely Chris Hero, I think. Necro, that he benefited from it a lot. He got put in, you know, in some marquee matchups with the company. I think Adam Pearce benefited from it. Trying to think who else was involved. Those guys right off the top of my head.
When you mentioned Definitely. Hero, I read that he just signed a contract with ROH too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and they've got a really good gimmick going with Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney, a guy
right.
from out east who is an awesome, awesome interview. I don't know if you've seen any of this guy's stuff, Les.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great talker.
No, I never have, but I've heard the name and I've heard some good things about him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a great worker too. Works a very, like, Memphis old-school style.
Right.
But he's awesome, awesome on the stick.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I've seen him live a few times.
Yeah.
Another question from the chat room. Rosscar24 says, ask BJ if he thinks Morishima will get over as big as Joe ever did.
Man, that's some big shoes to fill, the way Joe, you know, carried that title. And I believe his match quality will be as good as Joe's was. You know, he's a big man like Joe that can move and he can go. I mean, that guy can get out there and he can go. Wow, to have a reign like Joe's, though, man, that was something special, something you don't see, you know, very often in the business. You know, it happens like once a generation. But if anybody could, it'd be Morishima.
Definitely. BJ, I got one final question for you. Let's
okay.
say that, you know, BJ doesn't have any shows for a few days. You've done your training for the day. You've done your weightlifting. What is BJ Whitmer do in his off time?
In my spare time? Well, I know I've got, what is it, NCAA 2008 football coming out for the Xbox 360 coming out next week, I think. So I'll be playing some of that. I do like to read, though. You know, I like biographies and stuff like that. Mostly what I read, like true story type stuff. I'm not too much into fiction and stuff like that, but I do like to read and kind of educate myself. Sit around, take it easy. The way my body's, you know, banged up and beat up right now, you know, anytime a chance I get to rest, you know, because on the weekends it's go, 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 you know, not much sleep and stuff like that. So possibly even just taking a nap, you know, once I've gone to the gym, you know,
right.
And stuff like that. So.
BJ, I want to thank you for being on the show. Guys, you can learn more about BJ Whitmer at ROHWrestling.com. Also, you have your own website.
No, I don't. I need to get that done. I had one there for a while, but I didn't send the girl that was doing it any new information.
Ah.
And posted it. Yeah, so that was my fault. So.
Okay, I went by and I took a look at it. It did look like it hadn't been updated in a while, but
yeah.
It is still there. It's BJ
Whitmer.
Really? BJWhitmer.tk.
Okay, yeah. Wow, it's still up. I didn't even realize that.
Well, go check it out before they get rid of it, guys.
BJ, if you're on this side of the river, give me a shout. Let's do lunch. And please, be sure to say hello to your mom and dad for me.
Okay, I'll do that. Is your cell number still the same?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
All right, BJ, thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Guys.
BJ Whitmer from Ring of Honor. Guys, you can catch the pay-per-view. It's called Respect is Earned. That's, of course, on Dish Network, playing right now on July 8th. It debuts on TVN, and on July 20th, it debuts on In Demand. You can check out the replays of that pay-per-view. Guys, we're going to get out of here. We're running out of time. Enjoy ECW if you're on the East Coast of the United States. That's coming up next on Sci-Fi Channel. Les?
Yes?
Any parting words for our fans?
Just, you know, want to wish everybody a safe and a great holiday, 4th of July. And, you know, thanks for being with us. Join us again next week when we will have...
Check our website. We'll have that coming up.
I'm
in talks right now with people.
Yeah, docs in negotiation with Paris Hilton. No, whoever.
We'll have that up at WrestlingWeekly.com. We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks.